I invite you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Our text today will be verse 18 through verse 21. Deuteronomy 11 verse 18 says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." As I go through this life, I find it increasingly important to spend time in God's Word. This book is God's love letter to us. It is His revelation to mankind. Practically all that we know of God and His ways come from here. How shall I then, as I make my journey, be found pleasing to God? How will I deal with life and its hardships and its pleasures? As Francis Schaeffer put it, how shall we then live? Further, what shall I teach my children concerning this book? Well, I'd like to speak from this text a message I've entitled, "The Priority of the Word of God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We ask that you bless your word to our hearts today. Give us understanding hearts and minds, and moved by your Spirit. And we ask if there's any here today that is lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to you, grant repentance and faith that they would be saved. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have in you. And Lord, may we be found faithful in our service here. May we occupy till you come. And Lord, part of that is going to be being in your word and learning about you and learning your truths. And so we pray that you would give us a heart's desire for your book, and then give us understanding as we study it. Lord, we just commit this to you today. Again, we pray for those that are sick, that you would heal them, raise them up from their sick bed. Those who are bereaved, that you would comfort them. Those who are traveling, that you would keep them safe. And again, Lord, we pray for all of us here today that we might honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the priority of God's Word. Let me give you a context as we think about our passage or our text today. The nation of Israel has finished their wilderness wanderings, and they're poised to enter into the promised land. Now, Moses is giving final instructions to the nation. He emphasizes the law of God, and he gives encouragement to the nation. He desires that they would follow after God, keep God's word, and therefore be blessed of God. Now, our text today is instruction given to Israel. I want you to understand that. It's instruction given to Israel and is not directly applicable to believers today. Not that we cannot learn from the passage, but as Gentiles, I am not teaching that we must keep tiny portions of Scripture tied to our hands or keep them in an amulet on our foreheads. No more than I would advocate that we cannot cut the corners of our beards or that we must abide by the Jewish dietary laws. We can, however, discern principles to live by, learn moral values, and glean from God's instructions. For example, the law says don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And Paul says that this has a spiritual importance, and that is you ought to pay the preacher. And so we can learn from these things, but this text is written to the Jews. And so coming to the passage which I have chosen for my text, Moses commands the nation in their response to God, or more specifically, their response to God's Word. Now Moses had written a copy of the laws for the nation. As a matter of fact, the Scripture records for us, and listen, it says, "And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book," that's the Pentateuch, "until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. And so Moses wrote a copy of we have the Pentateuch, that's the first five books, wrote a copy of that, and they put it inside the Ark along with the tables of stone. And so the Ten Commandments were there. And this book that Moses wrote was placed in there as well as a witness against the children of Israel. Now, how then should they respond to this word? Our text indicates the importance and priority of God's word. And so this, my friends, is what we can learn. And it matters not whether you are Jew or Gentile. Now, of course, I'm not talking about the Pentateuch. I'm talking about the entire word of God in application for us today. Now, in our passage, I find four things. It's personal in verse 18. It's parental in verse 19. Promotional in verse 20, and providential in verse 21. Now, the first is a personal response. The second is a parental obligation. The third is the public reminders of the word. And the fourth is the result of being obedient to the other three. That is, they will receive God's blessings. Now, my concern for today will be for the first two only. Therefore, as we consider the priority of God's word in our lives, we should do so in the personal sense and in the parental sense. And so, may you understand that there is a priority to God's word. That being said, look into verse 18 and notice the personal. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be frontlets between your eyes. Moses has written the word of God, the commands of God, and the rules and guidelines for the nation of Israel. And he says, you need to lay these up. Now in the Hebrew, those two English words we have, lay up, the Hebrew word means, it comes from a primitive root, which means to put. And it's the idea of placing. And so the word is translated in various places throughout the Old Testament scriptures, but it's translated as a charge, or a commit, a convey, even impute, and of course, to lay up. And so when you think about a book like this, and he says, you lay up these words in your heart, he's not saying, well, just get it, stick it on your shelf, and be happy about that. He says, you need to make it personal. You need to put it into your heart. Make it a part of you. And so what the idea really is that the Word of God, and of course we're making application to the entire book of which we have, which is called the Bible, the Word of God should influence all that you are and all that you do. That's what Moses is telling the children of Israel to do. Now he has written this a little bit earlier on in the book of Deuteronomy, and almost said exactly the same thing, but I invite you to turn back there to chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So he repeats here in chapter 11 what he had said earlier. And in chapter 6, you'll find in verse 4 and verse 5 that the children of Israel ought to love God with their whole being. And isn't that true for those of us who are saved? We ought to love God with all of our hearts. Chapter 6, verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know, that's a great commandment, isn't it? Love God with all your heart. Then he says in verse 6, take heed to the word. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You see that? Love God and put his word in your heart. Verse 7, then he says, teach your children. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou rises up. And then he says in verse 8 and verse 9, place the scripture, place the word about you, these reminders, verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. And so you go back to our passage in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we just noted the reference in chapter 6. The same thing is being conveyed here. Make the Word of God personal. Put it into your heart. I believe a similar thought is conveyed over in Psalm 119, verse 11, where the psalmist wrote and he said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's just not an awareness of it, but it's a knowledge of the word with a desire to keep it, a desire to fulfill it. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said the first thing was you love God with all your heart. And then keep the word, hear the word, take it, apply it to your life. And so when I suggest unto you today to make the word of God a priority unto you, let the Bible be a personal to you. It's just not a matter of well being able to quote it. Learn from it, grow from it, make it applicable to your life. Let God change your life through his word. And so make God's word a priority. Now back in the text, we see in verse 18 that it's personal. But then notice the parental in verse 19. And ye shall teach them, talking about the word of God, ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You are to teach them. The interesting thing about that word teach in the Hebrew, the word properly means a goad. I'm not a farmer, and I'm not dealt with farm animals, but I understand that, you know, of the ox goad. And they would use that pointed stick as a means of direction, instruction to the animal. And so if the animal's not going where they want it to go, they just give it a good sharp poke, and that makes correction for the animal. And so by implication, even though the word means a goad, it's an instructional tool. And so by implication, the word means teach. And so this word is translated throughout the Old Testament scriptures as instruct, or learn, or be skillful, and of course the word teach. And so you have the word of God, and Moses says in verse 18, make it personal to you, get the word, put it in your heart, respond to God because of it, and don't just keep it to yourself, teach your children. And so there is a parental obligation. So if you don't have any children today, I guess you can check out for just a few moments and daydream if you desire to. But you know what? You might have children someday, so you still want to hear what God has to say. There is a parental obligation. And so he says in verse 19, you shall teach them your children and speak of them. Speak of them. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, speak of them. Now, what's he saying? As a parent, it's my responsibility to make my children aware of the Word of God. Expose them to the Scripture. That's a good thing, by the way. And that's a command given to the children of Israel, and it certainly is a great truth for us. You know, I encourage you parents to teach your children the Bible. Teach them about creation. Tell them about Adam and Eve. Tell them about the flood. Teach them about Cain and Abel. I mean, you have the entire Bible. You have the stories of Jesus. You have Daniel in the den of lions. You have Jonah. I mean, you know, those are common Sunday school stories. But teach these things. Why? Because they're just not stories. This is recorded Word of God. They need to know. They need to learn the Bible. And so you need to make them aware. You need to expose them to that. And you do well by bringing them to church, and you do well to bring them to Sunday school so that they can hear about Jesus Christ, and they can hear about these other disciples and other Christians and the names and the stories. Boy, that's a good thing. And as early as you can get them under the Word of God, do so. And I would suggest even as a parent, if you have very small ones, man, read to them. The Bible's not going to hurt them one bit. It's a good thing to expose them to the Word of God. And you say, well, I don't want to twist their little minds. I'll tell you, their minds are already twisted. It's called the depravity of man. And when men come forth from the womb, they're speaking lies, they're already corrupt. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. You don't have to teach them to sin. They do it all on their own. You say, but I don't want to warp them. My friends are already warped. You need to correct them. You need to give them instruction. You need to put them on the right path. You teach them everything else, don't you? You teach them colors, and you teach them sounds, and you teach them the letters, and you teach them what this is and that is. You take them to school, you train them, you give them instruction around the house, how to pick up after themselves, how to dress, how to clean, what to do, carry out the garbage. You give all kinds of instruction to your children, and yet you'll have a parent that comes up and says, well, I don't want to influence them, and they won't do anything to teach or train their children in the things of God. That's a big mistake. You teach them everything else, teach them about God. Show them the Word of God. Let them know it's important to you and it ought to be important to them. Expose them to the things of the Lord. That is a great thing. And so the scripture says you ought to teach them. You ought to train them. And let me say to you as well, just don't depend on a Sunday school teacher to do your task. Sunday school is good. Sunday school teachers are great. But you know what? As a parent, you need to take the time. Teach, train, develop, share the Word of God to them in the home. Just don't depend upon your Sunday school teacher to give them the exposure of the Word of God, and that's all there is. My friend, teach and train them. And that's what the Bible tells here. You teach them. Speak of them. And you know what? It's a matter of not only do you teach them and train them, but it ought to be exampled in your own study and your own personal practice. In other words, it's not an approach of don't do as I do as I say. Now, certainly as adults, we look back on our life. Sometimes we have to tell our children and teach and train our kids to do things because we've learned better. We've done that. We've been there. And we're not telling them to do it. And we'll say, listen, you know, I made those mistakes. Don't go there. And I understand that that's don't do as I do as I say. Well, we've already made our mistakes. We want to do what we can to prevent our children from making those mistakes. And when it comes to the Word of God, if you want your children to be taught, you want to obey these words from the Scripture and make God's Word a priority, you want your children to understand that, they have to understand it's important to you. If it's not important to you, it's not going to be important to them. If you care nothing about the Word of God, they're going to care nothing about the Word of God. And so you have to example it. You have to make it a part of your life. You have to think about it, meditate upon it, speak about it. And the Scripture says that it should permeate all of our life. It says when you're sitting and when you're walking, when you're lying, when you're rising up, envelop your life with the things of God. You can see things and make a point of it. Say, you know what the Bible says about that? You know, and you go through an event. Do you know what the Bible says about that? You know what the Scripture says? And you can teach and train. We need to do that. And we need to make it a personal practice of ours own and show that it's important. And that's some of the tragedy that we see in modern Christianity is that parents kind of want their children to get on board, but they don't. That's not even important to them too much. And so what they're really doing is teaching their children that the things of God are not very important. Now that's a mistake. Make God a priority in your life. Make the Word of God a priority in your life. You know what? There is a parental obligation. And so as a parent, make sure keep your kids under the preaching of God's Word. Keep them in Sunday school. You teach them. You train them. Open up the Bible. I mean, go to the bookstore and get you a Bible story book if you need to. And open up and go through the Bible story book with them. And let them understand about these characters and these biblical accounts. So they might be aware of the Word of God. So as they do mature and they become more aware of their surroundings and making life decisions, you know what? It won't be new. It won't be fresh. They've heard it before. And God will use His Word in their hearts. And isn't that what you want? I think every Christian parent wants their children to be saved so that they might go to heaven one of these days and they'll give glory to Jesus Christ. So in our text, we find that there is a personal response and there is a parental obligation. But there are three things I want to issue to you as a parallel. So talk about make God's Word a priority to you. Three things. Number one, turn to Deuteronomy 17, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now what we find here is Moses' commands to the nation of Israel in regard to when they have a king and the instruction that God gives about this king. And you say, well, we're not kings. It really doesn't apply. Well, I know we're not kings, but boy, we can glean from this. If it's important for a king, it ought to be important for me. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. Listen, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Do you see the instruction given here? Now, there are three subpoints I want to give to this and make application. And I'm going to do that to the other two items that I have listed as well. But you want to think about this? Wouldn't it be great if our president would do this? If the leadership of this country would have a copy of the Word of God and would read it all the days of their life and incorporate the Word of God, by what a difference this nation would be. And God said, if you have a king over you, this king, this is what he's supposed to do. There are three things. There's going to be a possession, there ought to be a priority, and then there's going to be purity. You got to have a possession. In verse 18, he says, he's going to get the book, going to write a copy of it out, and so he's going to have a copy of Moses' word, which would be the Pentateuch. For us, it'd be the Bible. Have a copy. Have it in possession. Then he's going to make it a priority. Verse 19, we read there that he should read it in all of his days. Wants to learn from it. My friend, I encourage you to have a copy of the Word of God and to read it. Read it. If you can, every day. All of your days. So that you might learn from it. Make it a priority. Why? Verse 20 told us of the purity, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left. It's just simply, you know what? He needs the Word of God, be in the Word of God, so that he would respond to God properly and be obedient. And that's purity, isn't it? Does Moses and does God think that the issue of the Scripture is important? Yes. The king needs to be involved with that. Turn over a few more pages to Joshua chapter 1. Now, I trust you remember that Joshua was the appointed replacement for Moses. And so after Moses died, Joshua led the children of Israel, brought them into the promised land, and was used of God in a great and mighty way. Well, Moses is dead, and so God exhorts Joshua. See what he tells Joshua. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Notice what he tells them. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What does he tell Joshua? Have the word. Verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Have it in possession. That's exactly what the king was supposed to do. So there's a possession that Joshua has spoken of here about the word of God. And then the priority. You meditate in it day and night. Joshua, you need to be in the book. You need to make it a part of your life. Joshua, love my word. That's what God's telling him. And so he says, have possession of it, make it a priority, and what will happen? Well, their purity will be the result, because he says that you meditate upon these things that thou mayest observe to do according to that which is written therein, so that you don't turn from the left hand or to the right hand or to the left. And my friend, that's what we need to do. We need to make God's word our possession and make it a priority so that it might cause purity in us. God commanded the children of Israel in regard to a king. This is how you handle it. Joshua, the leader of the nation, this is how you ought to be. Now I want to remind you of my third point in parallel. Let me read to you. Stay there in Deuteronomy. This is a very familiar text. And over in Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to just read a couple verses to you. In fact, you can turn to Deuteronomy 8 if you desire to. And what we have in Matthew 4 is the record of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. After he was baptized, he went into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Now part of that temptation is expressed for us, is written here in Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read two verses, verse 3 and verse 4. Listen, and the tempter came and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, he hadn't had anything to eat and he's hungry. And at the end of the 40 days, he was hungry and he said, turn these stones to bread. Now here's Jesus' response. But answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What was the Lord's emphasis there? Well, you know what? I can be concerned about my physical if I want to. And there's nothing wrong with the physical. We need to eat, but sometimes there's something more important than eating. And the point is, Man shall not live by bread alone. It's just not the matter of life and its existence, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that quote that he said, it is written, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I trust that you're there. And it's recorded there in verse 3. And we'll read that in just a moment. But what I want you to see are these three things. Here's Jesus' response to Satan, and he emphasizes the word of God. It's a priority. And so in verse 1 and verse 2, I see something of possession here. Deuteronomy 8:1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all thy ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. You need to remember some things. You need to keep it before you. Have some awareness. Be exposed to it. Keep the word of God. I see a possession there. The priority is found in the latter part of verse 3 where Jesus makes the reference and the quote from here. And he says, and let's go ahead and just read the whole verse. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why did God give manna in the wilderness? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Is bread necessary? Yes. Are the things of life necessary? Yes. But it's not all there is. And so if you're so busy with everything in life that you cannot spend any time in the Word of God, you can't make a priority upon it, you can't let it talk to you, you can't meditate upon it, you can't have it any influence or effect upon your life or the life of your children, you know what? You're just too busy. You really are. We need to place a priority on the Word of God. He says there's a possession here and there's a priority. And if you'll glance in verse 6 of that text there in chapter 8, it brings out the purity. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And so the issue is, and you're welcome to go back to the chapter 11 if you desire to, the issue is, you know what, have the word of God and not just place it on a shelf. Spend some time in it. Make it a priority. Learn it. Be aware of it. Let it speak to your heart and apply it. So that it might change your life, that you might do what God would have you to do and be as God would have you to be. And that's what Moses is telling the nation. That's what we can learn from it. I'm not saying you have to get up every day at 6 a.m. and read all day long and not take a break, except maybe run to the bathroom once or twice and maybe eat lunch. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you, my friend, we need to make God's Word a priority. It needs to do more than what it's doing. So I've spoken to you today from our text about the personal in verse 18 and the parental in verse 19. I've given you three parallel passages. Let me give you my last point, and it's the matter of being practical. I want to be practical. This is my conclusion. So number one, we must recognize the importance of the Word of God. I encourage you to seek God's Word. See how important it really is. This is God's revelation to us. Number two, we need to secure a copy of the Bible for our possession. Now, that shouldn't be much of a problem in our society. They're readily available. And I'll tell you the truth, my friend, if you don't have a copy of the Word of God and you would like to have a copy of the Word of God and you don't have the money to buy one, you know what? I'll buy you a Bible. I'm not going to get the fanciest leather you could have. I'm not paying $700 for a fancy Bible. I can get you one for $40. But you know what? If you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible and you don't have the money, I'll be glad to buy you a Bible. Secure possession of the Bible. Have a copy of it. But I'll tell you then, number three, we must do more than just possess it. We must give it a priority. That means we need to seek to read it and be familiar with its contents. We need to understand its precepts and to learn its truths. We need to apply its truths to our lives. I know how it is. I've been there, done that. And I still struggle with the continual study day by day. Because the old flesh and the old man just kind of rebels against it. But I remember in my youth, God did so many things in my life, and He brought me to maturity. He saved me when I was 15. Had to think back. Brought in me a place of commitment, devotion, called me to preach, placed me in the ministry, and I went to Bible school. After a year of Bible school, it dawned on me. Here I am, I'm called to preach, I'm in the ministry, I'm studying the Word of God, and of course, you know, Bible school, you read this portion and that portion and all that, but it occurred to me one day, I have never even read the book through. And I thought, how shameful is that? I've been saved for 4 or 5 years, never read the book through, and I made a commitment before God, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. And I started out with just a couple chapters a day, and then I would read 3 chapters a day, and then 4 chapters a day, and then 5 chapters a day. And then I quit going from chapters, I started going to pages, because chapters vary in length. And so I'd read. And to this day, I read every day, God willing. I don't always do it without exception, but God willing, every day I read 3 pages of Scripture. Every day. Every day. That works about 5 chapters a day. But in the heyday, you know what? I was reading 10 pages a day. I read my Bible through in 4 months, I think it was. That's pretty good, really. That was in the heyday. I don't do that anymore. But I'll tell you, I read 3 pages a day. Do you know how often I read my Bible through? Every 8 or 9 months. You say, but you only need to read it once or twice. No, there's a whole lot I got to learn yet. A whole lot I forget, and the older I get, the less I can remember. Ask my wife. And I'll tell you, I need to stay with it. And I just keep reading. We must give it a priority. And of course, the Bible teaches we ought to study it. Number 4, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll tell you, my friend, number 5, that the Bible is a handbook for the Christian living. It really is. It is our manual for life, and it is our guide for eternal life. You don't teach your children the things of God. You don't tell them about Jesus and death and hell and sin and salvation. You know what? They'll grow up ignorant and they'll die ignorant and they'll split hell wide open. Teach your children. Train them. Show them that they're lost and they need a Savior. Tell them about heaven and tell them about hell. Expose them to the Word of God. Keep them under the Word. You be interested, you teach them. We need to respect God's Word. We need to fear the God of this Word. And we ought to love it, we ought to read it, and we ought to apply it. Make God's Word a priority. That's all personal, isn't it? Then number 6, we must teach it to our children. We must teach it to our children. And I'm glad to see young people here today. And then in summary, number 7. Remember those 3 things I gave in the parallel? The possession, the purity, or the possession, the priority, and the purity? That's really what I'm encouraging you today. Possess the Word of God. Make it a priority. I mean, make it a part of your life. You say, well, I've always had a difficult time, just never really have done that. Then start. I'm not saying you have to read it through in a week. If a chapter a day is all you can do, do a chapter a day. And hopefully then after a period of time, one won't be enough. You at least do 2. But make it a priority. But not just for the sake of reading it. That 3rd point is purity. That you'll know His commandments and you turn to the right hand or to the left. You know, some people they face things in their lives and they say, I just don't know what to do. And the reason they don't know what to do is, I mean, we face a lot of things. Life's a great challenge. But some of the things are in the Word of God, and all you have to do is read the Word of God, and you'll find the answer. Not everything is there. We have to depend upon God to give us wisdom, guidance, and direction. But some things are in the Word of God, and I've talked to people in the past, and they say, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, the Bible's already addressed it. You're just not aware of it. So make it a priority. I issue a challenge today. I don't know your individual lives. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you've done. You know, that's God's business. But if you look back on your life and you're saying, you know what, I've been saved all these years and I've never read it through, that's where I was when I was 19. I've been saved for 5 years, I never read it through. 4.5. Then just say, God, I want to read it through. I challenge you. Get a possession of the Word. Make it a priority. Let God speak to your heart. Let it cleanse your way. Let Him guide you and direct you. See what God will do. Didn't God say, I'll bless you if you do that? Didn't He say to the children of Israel that you may inherit the land and be like heaven on earth? I tell you, we want to be interested in God's Word. I encourage you to love it. Have you been encouraged to do that today? I pray that you have. Make God's Word a priority. I appreciate your patience. Thank you for coming. And I pray that God really has touched your heart in regard to this matter. Brother Paul, would you please come? Let's stand. I know I haven't spoken to the lost here today, and if you're lost, I know there's really not much of a desire to learn the Word of God, but I'll tell you, if you want to know about God, that's where you're going to find it. Attend the house of the Lord, hear the Word of God preached, read it on your own, learn about God so that you might be saved. And we who are saved, may we make God's Word a priority, that it would change our lives for the better, that He would be honored in all that we live, all that we say, all that we do, and how that we live. May the Lord bless you. Father, we ask that you bless your Word to our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. And I pray that I've done that in truth and sincerity. And I ask that you would just work in every one of our hearts, begin with me, to make the Word of God a priority, continue it to be a priority, and God, may you purify us as we grow in you. Forgive us for our sins. We ask you to save the lost today, strengthen the saved. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?